Welcome back, everyone, to the deep dive. Today, we're going to be like really diving deep, you know, like really deep into this conflict resolution style that honestly kind of sounds too good to be true. It's called cooperating.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of that? Cooperating.
I have.
Yeah. So it's all about this idea of achieving a win-win in conflicts, which,
right.
You know, on the surface sounds fantastic, but does that actually work in the real world? I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah, I think you're right to be skeptical. The idea of everybody coming out on top in a disagreement,
yeah.
It can feel a bit like finding a unicorn, right?
Totally, totally. Like, it's a nice idea, but come on.
Right.
So we've got some excerpts here from Cooperate Gracefully by Ron Craybill. To kind of be our guide. We've also got this really cool visual aid that we'll be referencing a little bit later. But, you know, I think even before we get into the nitty gritty, it's tempting to just write this whole cooperating thing off as being like way too idealistic.
Right. Yeah.
Because like when you're in the heat of the moment, right?
Yeah.
Who can really like take a step back and think about win-win?
Right. Yeah. That's the thing, though. That initial skepticism, it can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, if you go into a conflict already convinced that collaboration is impossible, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah.
It's like refusing to use a map because you don't believe in shortcuts.
Oh, I like that. Okay, so you're saying our mindset is really crucial here. Instead of just dismissing cooperating as this, like, fairy tale, we should at least be open to the possibility that it could work.
Yes, exactly.
Like, we're adding this, like, superpower to our conflict resolution utility belt.
There you go. Now, this doesn't mean, you know, going in with rose-colored glasses and expecting everyone to sing kumbaya after a disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about understanding that there's a, you know, a spectrum of conflict styles.
Right.
And cooperating, when used strategically, can be incredibly effective.
Okay. So we're not talking about being naive. We're talking about being prepared. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Expanding our toolkit.
That's a great way to put it.
So how do we know when to pull out this cooperating tool, though? Because the article is pretty clear that it's not a one-size-fits-all approach.
It is not a one-size-fits-all. You're absolutely right.
Right.
Yeah. And the article, it highlights three key factors that kind of signal when this cooperating style might be the best approach. We're talking about long-term relationships.
Okay.
High interdependence.
Yocha.
And important issues.
Now, those seem, on the surface at least, kind of broad, right?
They do.
Like, don't most conflicts involve at least one of those things?
They do, and that's why understanding the nuances is really key here.
Yeah.
So let's start with long-term relationships.
Okay.
Now, think about your closest friends, your family, maybe even a business partner. These are relationships you're invested in for the long haul, right?
Yeah.
So cooperating in these situations, it helps you navigate disagreements while still prioritizing the connection itself.
Oh, that makes sense. So it's almost like we're playing the long game here. It's not just about winning this one argument. It's about finding a solution that works for both of you so the relationship itself can thrive.
Precisely.
Yeah.
You got it. And that ties into the second factor as well, that high interdependence.
That's okay. Yeah.
So this is when you and the other person are kind of relying on each other to achieve a shared goal.
Mm.
So think about like a team project at work.
Right.
Or even something like raising a child together.
Yeah.
If one person wins at the expense of the other, it ultimately undermines the whole collective effort.
Totally. So it's like in those situations, winning at all costs is actually like the opposite of winning.
Pretty much, yeah. You're better off finding a solution that benefits everyone.
Totally. Okay. So long-term relationships, high interdependence, and then the last one you mentioned was important issues.
Mm.
And that feels, I don't know, it's a little bit subjective, right?
It can be.
It makes an issue important.
That's true. It can be subjective.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, we're talking about situations with, you know, significant consequences where finding a mutually agreeable solution is just absolutely crucial.
So like when the stakes are high and the outcome really, really matters.
Yes.
That's when this whole cooperating style really shines.
Exactly. Like a major business decision, right?
Right.
Or a disagreement about core values within a family.
Oh, yeah.
Even something like planning for the future with a partner.
Yeah.
These are all situations where cooperating can help you find solutions that genuinely work for everyone involved.
Okay. So you've convinced me. Like, cooperating, it can be useful, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the article also mentions that it's a learned skill.
Right.
It's not something that necessarily comes naturally to a lot of people. Like, yeah. I know for me, staying calm and collaborative when I'm in the middle of like a disagreement.
Right.
Not always my strong suit.
Yeah. And you're not alone in that, right? It takes practice.
Yeah.
Especially because it goes against a lot of our natural kind of fight or flight instincts.
Right. Exactly.
And this is actually where that visual aid comes in.
Okay.
So the image, it shows how cooperating, it requires a really high focus both on your own goals and on the relationship.
Okay.
It's not about choosing one or all the other.
Oh, that's really interesting, because it's almost like when you put it that way, it's like this image is showing us a different way to even approach conflict, right?
Absolutely.
It's not about, you know, viewing it as this battle to be won. It's more like we're working on a puzzle together.
There you go. That's a great way to put it. And one of the most important skills, I think, for solving that puzzle is active listening.
Active listening. Okay.
And we're not just talking about, you know, waiting your turn to speak.
Right.
This is about truly understanding the other person's perspective, their needs, their concerns.
So instead of just like planning my next argument in my head while they're talking.
Right. Exactly.
I'm really trying to like get inside their head and see things from their point of view.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And the article gives some great tips on how to do this effectively.
Okay.
Things like asking clarifying questions.
Gotcha.
Reflecting back what you're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really trying to empathize with where they're coming from. It takes effort, but it's essential for creating this space where cooperating can even happen.
So it's like you're almost building trust in that moment by showing them like, hey, I'm not just dismissing you. I genuinely care about understanding your side of this.
Yes. 100%. And once you've established that foundation of understanding,
right,
then you can start to actually explore solutions together.
Yeah.
But even with the best of intentions, you know, shifting into that cooperating mode in the middle of like a really tense conversation.
Oh, yeah. It's hard.
It's not easy. It can be so difficult.
Yeah. It's like trying to parallel park when you're already running late, you know? Like your brain knows what to do because your hands are just not cooperating.
That is a perfect analogy.
Right.
And that's actually why the article introduces this concept of transition phrases.
Transition phrases, I like it.
Think of them as like verbal cues
to
kind of hit the brakes on that emotional highway and steer towards collaboration.
So instead of just like getting defensive or firing back with my counterargument, right? I can use these phrases to signal, okay, hold on, I hear you, and I'm open to finding a solution that works for both of us.
Yes. There you go.
Like I'm putting a we're in this together bumper sticker on my side of the argument.
I love that. I'm going to use that. And the article lists a whole bunch of examples. But I think for our learner listeners, the ones that I found to be most effective are really clear and actionable. And they're not overly complex, right?
Right.
So something like, could you help me understand why this is so important to you?
Oh, I like that.
Or, we have a good bit of history here, and I'd really like to find a solution that works well for both of us.
Yeah, I like those a lot because they're simple, right? They're straightforward, but they're also like acknowledging the other person's feelings and that like this relationship matters.
Exactly. And sometimes, you know, just demonstrating that cooperating behavior, I think, can be even more powerful than explicitly asking for it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's like that saying, right? Be the change you want to see in the world. But in this case, it's be the collaborator you want to see in the conflict.
Ooh, I like that.
Right. It's about embodying that mindset. Now, the article does mention this really unique technique for kind of encouraging collaboration. It's called the talking stick. Have you ever heard of this?
I have, yeah. It sounds very like ceremonial almost, like something you'd see in a movie about ancient tribes, you know, coming together to make peace.
It does, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
It's very grounded, you know.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting. So essentially, you have an object.
Okay.
It could be anything, right? Like a pen, a book, a designated talking stick, if you want to be official about
it. Right, yeah.
And only the person holding the object is allowed to speak.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of creates this structured space for listening, right? And it ensures that each person gets their chance to fully share their perspective without interruption.
I can see how that would be really helpful, especially in situations where, like, people tend to like interrupt each other a lot or talk over one another. It kind of forces everyone to like slow down, take turns, and actually listen, right?
Yes. And that's really the foundation of this cooperating style. It's creating that space for dialogue where both parties, they feel heard, they feel understood, and they feel respected.
This all sounds honestly amazing.
Right.
But is it really as easy as it sounds?
That's the million-dollar question, right?
Right. Because I feel like, you know, the article did mention that there are some downsides to cooperating as well, right?
Very quiet.
It's not always the best tool for every job.
You are absolutely right to raise that point.
Okay.
While cooperating can be incredibly effective, you know, we've talked about that. It's not a magic bullet.
Right, right.
There are times when other conflict styles might be much more appropriate, you know, just depending on the situation.
So before we jump into, like, when cooperating isn't the best approach, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll explore those limitations a little bit more and talk about when it might be time to try, like, a different tactic altogether. Okay, so we're back, and we've been, like, really digging into this whole cooperating thing. And honestly, it sounds amazing when it works.
It really does.
But like you were saying before the break, it's not always the right tool for the job.
Exactly. And the article actually brings up a really important point. It says, you know, if you're dealing with someone who is manipulative or maybe has a history of, like, taking advantage of others,
yeah,
cooperating can totally backfire.
Oh, totally. It's like trying to have a rational conversation with a brick wall, right? Like you're just not going to get very far.
Exactly. And in those situations, trying to find that win-win, you know, that we've been talking about, it can actually lead to you losing out.
Ugh. Yeah.
Not good.
It's really crucial to protect yourself in those cases. Set those firm boundaries.
So it's almost like cooperating, it requires a certain level of, like, trust and good faith from everyone involved for it to actually work.
100%. It has to be a two-way street.
Okay. So what about power dynamics then? Like, I'm thinking especially in, like, a workplace situation where there's, you know, a clear hierarchy.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that can be really tricky. If there's a significant power imbalance, you know,
yeah,
cooperating can sometimes, it can be misused.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So it's super important to be aware of kind of like the potential for coercion or pressure in those situations, even if it's unintentional.
Right. So like a boss who like insists on using this collaborative approach to get their way might actually be like abusing their power.
Exactly. Even if it's disguised as teamwork.
Wow. Sneaky. Okay. So in those tricky situations, what do we do? Is there like a different conflict style that might be more effective?
Yeah. The article talks about a few. It mentions things like compromising or even accommodating, mm-hmm. depending on the specific circumstances.
So it's almost like, again, it comes back to being adaptable, right? Like being able to read the room and choose the best tool for that particular job.
100%.
Even if that means like setting aside and cooperating in certain scenarios.
You got it. And, you know, there are practical limitations too.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes, like, if a decision needs to be made really, really quickly,
right,
cooperating might just not be feasible.
Yeah, it's like trying to, like, have a full-blown collaborative brainstorming session when you've got, like, 5 minutes to spare.
Right.
Sometimes you just gotta, like, make a call and move on.
Exactly. And in those situations, a more directive approach might be necessary.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the key takeaway here, I think, is that while cooperating IS, a really powerful tool, it's not always the right tool.
Okay, that makes sense. So before we wrap up this deep dive completely, I kind of want to, like, circle back to the strengths of cooperating. Cause like we said, when it works, it really works.
It's amazing.
What, for you, were some of the, like, key benefits that really stood out to you in the article?
Honestly, one of the most compelling benefits is that cooperating, it has this potential to, like, transform conflicts from, like, these battles into opportunities for growth.
Ooh.
And even innovation.
I like that.
Because when both people involved, when they genuinely feel heard and respected, it can lead to incredibly creative and mutually beneficial outcomes.
Yeah, it's like instead of just fighting over the same pie, you're like combining your ingredients to bake a whole bigger, better pie.
I love that analogy. That's a great way to put it.
Right.
And that process of working through those challenges together.
Yeah.
It can actually strengthen relationships, both personally and professionally.
It's like you're building a muscle. The more you practice this cooperating thing, the better you get at it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, when people feel heard and understood. Even if they don't get everything that they initially wanted,
right,
it dramatically increases the likelihood that they're going to be okay with the outcome.
That makes sense.
Right. And they're much more likely to really commit to upholding their end of the bargain.
Yeah, because it's not about, like, tricking them into doing what you want. It's like they're bought in because they were a part of the process.
Exactly. And that's huge.
It's not just about resolving that immediate conflict. It's about laying the groundwork for like a more positive and collaborative dynamic, you know, moving forward.
Precisely. It's about seeing conflict as this opportunity for growth and connection.
I love that.
Rather than something to be like feared or avoided.
Yes. Okay. So as we wrap up here, if there's someone listening who's like, okay, this all sounds amazing, but I don't even know where to begin. Like, how do I even start doing this? What would you say like the most important takeaway is for them?
You know, I would say the most important thing is to start trying to cultivate that mindset shift that we were talking about earlier.
Right.
Challenge that belief that conflict has to be this adversarial thing.
Yeah.
That there always has to be a winner and a loser.
Right. Like sometimes it really can be a win-win.
Exactly. And recognize that, especially in those situations with long-term relationships. Collaboration is not only possible,
yeah,
but it's often the most effective way to go.
Totally. Okay, so start with mindset shift. What else?
And then remember, it takes practice.
Right.
Like we were saying before, this cooperating thing, it's a skill. It's not magic, right?
Right.
So start small.
Okay.
Try incorporating those transition phrases into your conversations. Pay attention to how people respond. And most importantly, be patient. Be patient with yourself.
It's like learning any new skill. Mm-hmm. It's going to feel awkward at first. You're not going to get it perfect right away. But with practice, it'll become more natural.
Yes.
And eventually, you'll start seeing the results.
Absolutely. And as you become more comfortable with it,
yeah,
I think you might be surprised at the creative solutions that come out of it.
Yeah.
And the stronger relationships that you build because of it.
Love that. And that is a perfect note to end on, I think. This was great. A lot to think about.
Yes. Lots to explore.
But remember, this was just, you know, our deep dive. There's a ton of other information out there about the cooperating style.
Oh, yeah. Tons of resources.
And just about conflict resolution in general.
Absolutely.
So we've given you the foundation. Now it's up to you to build on it.
Exactly. Go out there and experiment.
That's it for this deep dive. Thanks for joining us. Mm-hmm. Until next time.